Jake's neck, others injured.
Yeah, we are starting with the human angle story. It's a sign of the times. This is the Christmas week, and I don't think Sherif or I want to stress ourselves that much with anything that is too complex. At face value, this story looks ordinary. An action patient's relative, he attacks the Lasuth workers, breaks the neck of a nurse, and injures others because he believes that the patient he brought was not being attended to properly and on time. So it looks like an everyday thing, but a few things caught my interest. And I'd like you to listen to this paragraph that I have here. It says that a nurse at the hospital attended to the patient and advised his relatives to leave him in the vehicle, where resuscitation procedure would be conducted on him. He was brought in a Toyota Sienna, so leave him in the vehicle. That is, he drove down to the hospital and was now told to leave him in the vehicle. I found that a bit odd. Then the Lagos State Secretary of the National Association of Nigerian Nurses and Midwives, Toba Odumosu, said the victim sustained varying degrees of injury. And he says this is what he gives as his account. He says, a patient was shot in an attack in Agege, was brought to Lasuth in a Sienna vehicle, and when they got there, the medical personnel started attending to them, while one of the nurses went to get the medical supplies that would be used. Then he says, the usual practice is that because time is of value, whenever such victims are brought, they are always attended to in the vehicle before being transferred to a ward. And I was now wondering, I thought there would be an emergency unit. Now, if you are going to attend to a man in a vehicle because of time, it's within that time that the nurse has to run back to get supplies and so on and so forth. Why don't you use that time to move the man to at least A&R, where he can be attended to? I find this strange, and I'd like a clarification from the authorities of the hospital, where, the secretary of the National Association of Nurses says that the usual practice is that when such victims are brought, they are always attended to in the vehicle before being transferred to the ward. I would have thought that they'd be taken to an emergency unit, and then if admission is going to take place, then you go to the ward. And so that's the part that caught my attention this morning, and I thought I'd bring this to the attention of the authorities to give a clarification on this. I don't know what you think, Sherif.
I honestly just think that there has to be some protocols that they observe when
are brought in. I find it quite odd.
I also do know that it's possible that there are no bed spaces in the A&E. It's very possible. Sometimes they are overwhelmed as well. Public health facilities are quite overwhelmed sometimes. So and we can't totally just descend on healthcare givers when we are under pressure or we're anxious or anything. It discourages everybody. I know it's not easy.
What the guy did?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. That doesn't really bother me because that's part of human reaction. The part that bothers me is when the state secretary of the Association of Nurses says that the usual practice is to attend to a patient in the vehicle. I can understand if there is, if like when there was a building collapse and you brought 20, 30 people in, of course you would do that. But when he says that the usual practice is to attend to them in the vehicle, I get a bit worried. And like I just said, we'd like the authorities of the hospital to please give a clarification on that statement.
I read that story, and part of what the person said was that they were trying to resuscitate, to resuscitate him in the vehicle before it's too late, moving him from the vehicle to the A&E. That's what they wanted to do. Then the relative got really agitated, and that happened.
I just need a clarification just to be sure that it is, I need to be sure whether it's the usual practice or not, or this was just a one-off. But the good news here, though, is that the chief medical director of Lasuth, Tokunbo Fabanwo, has said that they're going to press charges against. You can't go thumping medical personnel or any worker for that matter, it's not done. Mm-hmm. It's just not done. We must learn to be patient. It's not done under any circumstance. And I'm glad the police came in and grabbed him and took him away.
Yusuf Abayomi on YouTube says, in the surgical and emergency unit of Lasuth, the emergency victims are attended to in the vehicle when there is no bed space before being transferred.
But I still need something. Sorry, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
I don't expect that any emergency that comes will go straight to the ward anyway. Mm. There must be a waiting bay.
That's the accident and emergency ward.
Where
they take everybody to. But oftentimes, that place is always crowded.
It's always crowded.
Oftentimes.
So the government has a big task on their hands to increase the capacity.
A huge task.
Yes.
A huge task, yes. Really. Let's take this one from Vanguard, page 5 of the Vanguard. Why Buhari won't sign Electoral Act Amendment Bill with plenty riders?
Yes. I think the one that concerns a lot of us is the issue of the direct primaries, which the parties won't want. The parties don't want it. I'm sure they put a lot of pressure on the president because that's where the manipulation starts from. If you have direct primaries, it means that every member of the party has a mind of his own and can express it as he believes. But they like this idea of delegates. Mm. Then the governor handpicks people. No, he handpicks people, his family, his relatives, his that loads them and puts them in a vehicle off to Abuja, and bingo, it's done.
It's done.
This would affect a number of aspirations. Most aspirants don't like direct primaries. They don't like it. A lot of the political leaders know that. What they have is imposed popularity. Mm. If you set the hearts of the party members themselves, a lot of our political leaders wouldn't be anywhere near the positions that they occupy.
Yeah.
But they're coerced, they're victimized, all kinds of things. They've thrown money at them and so on and so forth. And it's a pity. Because part of the excuses that Buhari gives, he says it will be expensive. The parties must look for money to fund the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's more expensive to handle the aftermath.
Who is it expensive for, the central government or the parties?
I think he thinks the parties, but you know that there's a thin line between government funds and the parties. How are parties funded? Yeah. Let's be honest with ourselves. When they want to have these conventions and they levy governors, they levy senators, they levy this and levy that, and that, so there's a thin line. When you hear, you remember the God of blessed memory, you heard somebody was being called Mr. Fix It. What did you think he was? It was Jad or Walks. And not a single road was that effectively during his tenure. He knows how to carry people along. So it's a pity that we missed an opportunity with that. I'm for direct primaries. I'm for a system that allows me, as a participant in the party, that allows me to have a say.
Should the National Assembly veto the president?
They can't, and they won't. In fact, we haven't really had any free National Assembly, but this one is the worst of it all. Yeah. But look at what a senator says here. A senator says, he says, and again, most of them are, he doesn't want to be identified, but he's saying it anyway. And he says that we have the number to override Buhari's veto, but with Senator Lawan as president of the Senate, it will be difficult because he operates the Senate as an extension of the presidency. It's not any different from the states and the state houses of assembly. The moment you have direct primaries along the line, some semblance
power is given to the people.
Power will be given to the people. But as it is, both the politicians and the rest of us, we are going through a second slavery. And only God will save us from the predicament in which we find ourselves. Let's read the writers here. It says, imposing direct primaries on politicians will cause trouble in polity.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's the indirect primaries that is causing the problems in the polity. Ask NAS to rework bill, remove direct primaries, and return for assent. NAS should extricate itself from public odium by overriding Buhari Urogide. That's one of the senators, I think. Mm-hmm. We have numbers to override Buhari's veto. Electronic transmission of election results, target of veto. That's a wiki.
Right.
APC have kept mum. APC will keep mum because some of their principal actors don't want direct primaries. They know that you do have direct primaries.
Why do I see a clash coming between APC lawmakers and their respective governors?
Oh, you're not. I'm not going to give you any credit for that. I think it's quite visible.
Yeah.
The major thing is that this thing is personalized.
Mm.
To put it bluntly, it has to do with the aspiration of Bola Tinubu.
Mm.
And whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, because I'm not one of his supporters, he's a front runner.
That's right.
Yes. Whether I like it or not, or you like it or not, whether I support him or not, this gentleman is a front runner. Okay, and I suspect that even the president has a dilemma as to how to handle this gentleman. Know that you know that Bola Tinubu, the attribute he has that makes him even much more front is that he's a team player. He understands politics, quite unlike Buhari. You understand? Buhari is a team player. He will do deals with various various interest groups and so on and so forth that make everybody happy. But in the process, if he is not taken, the whole nation itself might be impoverished. So, but there is a fear. He has suddenly become a phenomenon.
How do you mean?
He has suddenly become a phenomenon. He's the front runner. Who else do you see as having an aspiration towards the presidency in the APC that you see is as prominent as Tinubu? The politicians love him. Oh, yes. He has a very strong chance of getting the APC ticket. Whether he now wins the election is another thing entirely. But the politicians love him. Umonkwe, Ojasi. And that's why I keep telling my people, the interest of the politicians in candidates is different from your own interest. You understand? If you had somebody, to put it on street language, he's a dealsman. He knows how to maneuver himself around this. So the fear of his emergence is causing a lot of ripples. And he has his people there.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you like it or not, the speaker is his person. He's going to work for his interests. And the reps are very powerful.
The vice president as well.
Exactly. Well, the vice president also has his own aspirations.
That's not going to happen.
But why did you dismiss it?
No, because I think
I don't like it.
I think that Bola Tinubu has played his game really well, and they all know.
Well, the thing about you see, politics is like a game of what? Do you play what?
Of course, yes.
He might have his stars, but we don't know who has the what. Don't forget the power of the incumbent is very, very strong. But is he knowledgeable? He himself, is he knowledgeable about playing this game of politics?
Who is that?
The president.
Oh, okay.
And some of the people that he might rely upon might rather have somebody in the tune of Bola Tinubu than the person because some of them believe that they've been in Ramadan and fasting for the past 8 years. And they believe that is not going to happen if you have a Tinubu presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
The two Nigerians that frighten me, that know the name of the game, is Bola Tinubu and Atiku.
Okay.
These are they know how to maneuver themselves.
Who do you think amongst the several other names that people are putting forward? Mm. Who do you think can stand up to these two gentlemen?
Politically, it's going to be very tough.
Yeah.
The reason being that I don't think Buhari has what I will call faithful soldiers with him.
That's heavy.
Yes, I don't think he has faithful. I don't think he has that political ability. I'm not saying he's not a good president. That's not the issue here.
Yeah.
But does he have that political sagacity to carry everybody along? I don't think it's payback time now. It's payback. It could be a good president to his supporters and those of us on the outside is doing this and doing that.
Yeah.
But the politicians want a deal man. They want somebody they can deal with.
It's all
who
about
carry
deal.
Them along. It's all that. So it's important that our people know that their own interests is quite different from the interests of the politicians. And that's why.
Funsho on YouTube says the North will never support Tinubu and we will all see play out very soon.
That is what some of us who believe that we don't support him are thinking of. But the North also, the Northern leader, you know how elections are done in the North.
And they know how to strike.
They use toes, fingers, name it. And it's the leaders who determine. That's and who do the leaders want?
Mm.
You see, the Northern leaders just want their interests protected.
That's all. That's all.
And this gentleman will he will give them what they want. You need to do a reality check. We are not talking of who is suitable, but who knows how to play the game.
The
North might jolly well support him.
Yeah.
So those of us who believe that we don't support him or whatever, we need to guard our loins. I respect the man politically. Oh, don't get me wrong. Oh, yes, he knows the name of the game. You see, politics at some point is not a moral issue. And it's not all the tyranny that people like you and I say on radio and you know, in social media. No. Mm. It's the nitty gritty.
Yeah. Yeah. Roll up your sleeves.
Roll up your sleeves.
Get into it. Let's go to page 18 of the Vanguard newspaper. COVID-19 and vaccine hesitancy.
Yes, the Vanguard is worried, and so is everybody. There's vaccine hesitancy. The World Health Organization describes vaccine hesitancy as a delay in the acceptance or blunt refusal of vaccines, despite the availability of vaccine services. Mm-hmm. And it says, since March this year, Nigeria has struggled to acquire doses of vaccines,
mm-hmm.
but despite launching an elaborate mass vaccination campaign to encourage vaccination, the specter of vaccine hesitancy has persisted. Our people still don't want to take these vaccines. Is it because it's not readily available?
No.
Or there's just general apathy towards the vaccine?
Mm. I think it's the latter, because the vaccines are available.
You reckon?
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that says that an estimated 1 million doses of AstraZeneca expired before they could be used. I mean, that's...
Yeah, so what caused that was that we got the vaccines late. So these guys hoarded the vaccines. So when they saw that the expiration date was getting nearer, then they sent it down to us before we would do our protocols and logistics and everything. It got expired, so we had to destroy those vaccines.
The problem is that we didn't do what is expected of a nation in the first instance.
I agree, totally.
We didn't.
Totally.
We didn't. Why should we be waiting for leftovers? Why would anybody give you vaccines?
Totally.
I mean, we didn't do the needful initially. Other countries did. We didn't. And when, even if the vaccines came and it was a week to expiration, we could still have quickly turned it around. All kinds of politics would have come in again. You understand what I'm saying? I remember in the UK when they were given the first doses.
Right.
You know, when you apparently, when you take them out of wherever it is, you can't take them back. I think it was in the US.
Mm.
They were giving people, they were vaccinating people on the streets, in traffic.
I saw videos, yes.
You saw videos, that's yes. Right. So even if the and I don't think anybody would give you vaccines that would expire in a week, really. But even if that was it, if we got our act together, we didn't get our act together.
Mm.
I'm sure we were busy quarreling. And one thing I noticed about the public service is anything that doesn't have to do with money trickling down, our public officers are not interested.
They're not interested.
I remember way back, I think it was in the days of Abubakar Rimi, when the World Bank wanted to do a water project in the north. That project never materialized because Rimi insisted that they were the ones who would look for the contractor to do it.
Mm.
And the World Bank said, hey, this is our money. You know, I also remember one state that the governor didn't give the federal government access to land to build housing for his people. Mm-hmm. Who suffered? The governor is gone and dead. His family are rich.
Mm-hmm.
The people have less houses to live in. So we have this attitude. You know, we have this attitude. Even if you were giving vaccines a week, just a week to go, you can put them to good use.
Yeah.
If you took all those 1 million to federal secretariat and
just have a functioning system in place to take care of itself.
But because this one is free and there's no nobody to buy the needle, nobody, we can't find this, we can't find that, run after other things. We threw away, ultimately, we threw away 1 million doses. I mean, that's irresponsible.
That's a lot.
And that's painful.
Yeah, it is. But ultimately, more awareness needs to be done by the authorities.
I'm tired of convincing people
Maybe it needs to be incentivized, maybe.
No, look, listen, some people have just made up their minds that they will not be vaccinated. They've fallen victim to the propaganda against vaccines. It's because people that I know that I tell consistently, consistently, show proof, show literature, and so on and so forth, they just make up their minds. And there are some who just have a fear of, but I say to them, but when you were growing up, you had what there was what was called number now. We took vaccines growing up. I don't think there's anybody my age who grew up in the, at least in the urban areas.
It's always been part of our lives.
It's always been part of our lives. There was a time they were using knives. You see, look at some people's arms with the Big Mac number. Yes.
You people are suffered.
Yes,
you people have
you people, one they call number. It was knife. I think they put the knife in a fire or something like that.
And then,
yes, you had the conflicts.
Really,
you had the conflicts generation.
Kai.
And this thing is so you know, a shot in the arm, and well, I mean, at some point your arm will go up like that, but just 1 or 2 days, and then you'll be fine.
I only felt mine for, I think, the second day. I didn't feel the first day, then the second
day. I didn't feel anyone. Baba Konrin
Lord Niggas. Correct. Strong, Donnie. I'm going to take this one here. Still on the vaccine call. Oludare says, imagine I was told at Abuja Airport, no network for my second jab verification confirmation.
You see? I mean, this is Christmas week. I don't want to get myself. I want to enjoy my Christmas day.
Yeah.
Oh, Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas to you too.
What are you doing on Christmas Day?
That's on Saturday.
You'll be at home.
I'll
be here.
Oh yes, you'll be here. That's true.
I'll be on duty. I thought you were going to ask me about this girl who proposed something. You said you wanted to ask me.
I was going to. Let's just talk about it because that thing has generated quite a number of opinions online about that soldier who was proposed to by a corps member. And report says she's been detained by the army.
Yeah, rightly so. The army has its own laws. And we should leave the army to run itself for, you know, to for discipline. You have a good book that is given to you when you join the army.
Yeah.
How many people read that book? If the law says you can't do something, then you can't do it. You must be ready to face the consequence. I don't know why people are getting emotional and whatever about this. And in any case, this new culture of kneeling down in public and proposing that is being completely abused.
I think so too.
It's become a complete nuisance. Do you know what it takes to train a man to put a gun in his hand and go and face bullets? That's, you know, there must be balances and checks in the person's character to mold the person. That's why you really don't bring soldiers to civilian,
We shouldn't be seeing them.
When I was young, the only way I saw soldiers was because the school I went to was a military compound. I think we should leave the military to discipline its own people, and stop getting involved in things that are not. I mean, when I saw some of the sentiments being expressed, especially the sad one was somebody who said he wanted to be president of our country, and I said to myself, I mean, there's activism, yes. You want to get involved in public, yes. But leave these people, leave them to run. It's not easy for you to gather men and material, prepare them for war. And so this kind of attitude that we have, criticizing the army chief and so on and so forth, you are doing that from the comfort of your home. These are the people who are putting up, bad as it is, it would have been worse if you didn't have any army. So let's respect the military. Let's leave them. There's a book. There's a handbook.
Yeah.
You read the handbook. If you don't like it, you don't join the army. Now, if as members of the public, we also now have, we now say that, oh, wait a minute, the army, this law that you have, then we should, in a decent manner, rather than being whatever, go to our National Assembly and tell them to take a second look at the Military Act and see how you can, and let's stop playing to the gallery. I mean, I've lived with soldiers before.
Yeah.
You know, the discipline that goes with it doesn't warrant display of somebody. And then what makes the argument, what messes it up? All of a sudden, people start posting pictures of people of members of the U.S. Army doing the same thing. Does it make it right? What's wrong with us as Nigerians? The way we would train our own soldiers is different from the way America would train its own soldiers.
Absolutely.
Our cultures are different. So let's get that one very, very, very clear. And please, These people we put under pressure, we need to be very careful. The day the army goes on strike, Omo.
That day shall never come.
So I plead for leniency after she's gone through the proper whatever. But there must be discipline in the army.
I agree. We must go now. Jimmy, what's coming up at 9?
I'm just in a good Christmas mood. I'm giving out things.
Oh, fantastic. I'll collect mine first. Thank you.
No, so there's nothing for you.
Oh, yeah, that
this is not Ondo State. This is not Ondo State. I can't give you. There's no. Everybody has to compete for it.
We have to go now. Thank you so much for going. I'm Sheriff Quadri. We'll be back with the news.
Oh, Mo, it's so easy to learn anything today. That's how my little niece of yesterday tied my gilly for me like a pro. When I asked her who thought.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria.